Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yo, it is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Wednesday, July the 11th. As guess what? Your Philadelphia Phillies are alone in first place. They win yesterday, taking their second game in this four-game series, one left to go against the New York Mets, winning 7-3. Eniel De Los Santos gets a victory in his first major league start, but more importantly, the Atlanta Braves fall to the Toronto Blue Jays 6-2, and your Philadelphia Phillies at 51-39. They did not get their 51st win until September last season. The month of September. It's July 11th. And the Philadelphia Phillies are now alone by themselves. None of those dashes, none of those games in hand, sitting one game up on the Atlanta Braves in the National League East in pole position. Only five games for the Philadelphia Phillies before the All-Star break. How about you? How about you, Philadelphia Phillies, as this team continues to play good baseball? And what we saw really over the last three games in New York and the series before in Pittsburgh and against the Orioles, this team, the big worry, right, after the month of June, which was the most arduous part of this team's schedule with just good team after good team after good team. And not only did they find a way to not just tread water, but be even more successful than I think a lot of people expected during that time. But after that was over, the only fear you could come up with is say, well, maybe they're going to play down to their competition. Maybe they're going to disappoint against bad teams. And so far, it looks like this team is handling their business. It looks like when they square up against the team that is worse than them, they take advantage and they win series. As of right now, if they can pull out tonight's game, Vincent Velasquez against Jacob deGrom, and of course, anytime Jacob deGrom's on the hill, it is a tall task, and we'll dive into that game a little bit later, but if they can pull that one out, it'll be their ninth, how about this, their eighth series out of their last nine that they will win. Eight series victories in their last nine, right now 7-8. As again, taking advantage of the Mets yesterday, a 7-3 victory. Eniel De Los Santos taking the hill in his first career start. Is again, that's what's so special right now, at least about this Phillies team, the way they're playing, how resilient they are, and yet they're taking advantage of teams that are worse than them. They handled the Orioles in that two-game series. They won 2-3 in Pittsburgh. They lost the first game of that doubleheader, and oh, no biggie, Aaron Nola's going to dominate in the second game, and then they're going to come out and handle their business yesterday. This team was beating the good teams, and now they're beating the bad teams. And that's really all you can ask for from a baseball team, quite literally. As again, the Phillies at 51-39 in first place in the NL East. Yesterday, a fun win, a 7-3 victory as Eniel De Los Santos. You can never say that name enough times. It's such a fun name to say. And he certainly lived up to the billing yesterday. Not a pure dominant performance, but coming up in a spot start like that, he gives him 6 1/3 innings, 3 earned runs, but really only 1 earned run for the vast majority of his start. Ran into a little trouble in the last inning in there, ended up giving two more earned runs up, but a really nice outing from De Los Santos. He gets 6 Ks in the 6th inning, only allows 7 base runners. So just a really, really nice showing for Eniel De Los Santos in a spot start. You assume he'll get sent back down to the minors, but more than enough to get the job done. He gets his first major league win, gets a little help. Odubel Herrera with a home run as he gets going a little bit, a couple hits on the night. Michael Franco with a homer and an RBI single. 4 RBI in the night for Franco as, look, hey, I have been one of the most foremost, loudest Michael Franco detractors out there. And look, I'm still not there. Again, as I always say with Franco, we see these spurts, these two, three, even a month of good baseball. But I've not seen it consistently over a long period of time. But he's been really good over the last month or so. In his last 20 games, a 367 average. All of a sudden, he has the second best average on this team at 274. And look, he's really taken to the eighth spot. It's almost like the lack of pressure from being in another spot in the lineup has turned him into a different hitter, as he has been outstanding over the last few weeks. As again, those numbers over the last 20 games, even better over the last 10 games. He's been awesome. And look, you hope to get more defensively. He doesn't cover a lot of ground, but he's very sure-handed, and he has a rocket arm out there. And obviously, he can also make some pretty special plays, as we've seen this season from him. So, you know, look, I'm still out on Michael Franco long-term, but I've certainly enjoyed seeing what we're seeing. And right now, certainly hitting like the best eight hitter in the game at the moment. But outside of Franco, really nice outing. Reeves with three hits, three singles, just seeing the ball really well in general. The three hits last night and locked in at the plate again. Odubel goes yard, and the bullpen able to hang on to the win, which is something that, again, we have had consternation about a fair amount. But the Phillies able to go in and get the job done. They lose the first game of the series. They've taken the last two. Big one today. We'll dive into that coming up again. Vinny Velasquez returns from the DL after getting torpedoed on the right arm with that baseball, making the play of the year with the gun to first base, the left-handed gun. But we'll see what Velasquez has to offer tonight, and then the Phillies will head to Baltimore for one game, a makeup game, and then heading down to Miami for the last three games before the All-Star game. We'll look ahead to some of that coming up, but a couple thoughts quickly on the All-Star game, the All-Star lineups. I wanted to start, as we mentioned yesterday, that Aaron Nola, the first and only member of the All-Star team for the Philadelphia Phillies, his first All-Star nomination, but he is the only Phillies All-Star, at least as of this moment. Look, as the game approaches, people bow out. Who knows? Odubel Herrera probably next in line, you would think. Sir Anthony Dominguez, at least with an outside shot, but ultimately, Aaron Nola, the only one originally elected to the All-Star team, and with good reason. It's hard to argue. It's impossible to argue that Nola shouldn't have been there, and it's hard to argue that anyone else has a real gripe that they are not there on the Phillies. But ultimately, Aaron Nola, a surefire lock to get a nomination, and unbelievably well-deserved. If the game were not in Washington, where they will probably have Max Scherzer start, because that's the type of stuff you do with the All-Star game, because ultimately, who cares? It doesn't matter. But in this case, I think Aaron Nola, certainly you could make the argument, deserves to start. You know, I think him and Scherzer are the clear 1-2 in the NL and the Cy Young balloting at the moment. DeGrom, who the Phillies will face tonight, has been great, but has been injured and has not nearly started enough games to be in that conversation. Aaron Nola at 12-2, a 2.27 ERA, well over a strikeout per inning. The strikeout to walk rate is outstanding. You know, you hear the Greg Maddux comparisons, which is so hard for me to do, but I get it. I get it when you look at Aaron Nola. He has that type of stuff, that type of control. He's not Maddux yet. I mean, Maddux was pinpoint control of every pitch, and he could put it wherever he wanted it to go. It was the ultimate painter. But I think Aaron Nola's certainly got that type of long-term upside, which is insane to say, and who knows where it goes. But when you look at his ability to move the ball and to control the ball, and then you add in the high-end velocity that has that Maddux didn't, certainly throws harder than Maddux, it's exciting to think about. And I think that with Nola and him getting this All-Star nomination, started to spur the conversation a little more about how good Aaron Nola actually is, and the fact that when you look at the stars in this city when it comes to sports right now, you obviously have Carson Wentz with the Eagles and others. They won the Super Bowl, but Carson Wentz certainly the guy you point to, the star of the future, and the Sixers with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. I think for a long time with the Phillies, we've talked a lot about bringing in Manny Machado or Bryce Harper in the offseason or Reese Hoskins becoming that type of guy or whatever. I think Aaron Nola became that guy and we didn't even talk about it. Like, Aaron Nola's the best player on the Phillies. Pretty handily right now. And not just that, I would argue that after those three guys, and maybe even, You can put him in the argument with Simmons. I mean, I think that right now, and you know, it's a different sport. It's hard to judge. But I think Aaron Nola, the right there in the quote-unquote Mount Rushmore of Philadelphia athletes right now. He's that good. He is the Cy Young of the first half. He has been unreal. The development, the leap that guy's taken, the fact that he is a legitimate, 100%, no doubt about it, ace, a top 10 pitcher in baseball, a top 2-3 pitcher in the National League right now. You feel good giving this guy the ball in any playoff series. Again, you need that experience. You need to know he can handle it. Funny, we mentioned Greg Maddux. That was always the bugaboo, as it were, with Maddux, was that he was not that great in the playoffs in October when it matters. It's funny because you look at those Braves teams, the guys who threw a little softer, who were all about the control and the painting, and Maddux and Glavine didn't have that same October success that a guy like Smoltz, the fireballer, had. I do somewhat subscribe to that theory that power wins, power arms win in October. And I think Nola, the beautiful thing about him is he has that movement, but he also has the ability to get up to 94, 95, 96, that range. So I just think we're underappreciating this guy. And I was all over it and culpable of it prior to the season. Last season, I didn't think Aaron Nola was that good. I didn't think he was a ace, a straight ace, a guy who, again, you could hand the ball to in the first game of a playoff series or in a wild card play-in game or whatever and say, yeah, we're good today. Our guy's better than your guy. I didn't think that was going to happen with Aaron Nola. And not only has it happened, but he's 25 years old. It's happened way quicker than anyone could have ever thought. He's the best player on the Philadelphia Phillies, and they are in first place in the National League East. This dude is doing special things here, and I think we really need to take notice of it. And I know that the people listening to this show, big Phillies fans, you probably get it, but I do think that on a macro level, both in this city and across baseball, people are not recognizing how good Aaron Nola is, how great Aaron Nola is. And the fact, again, that he is doing it at such a young age, and he has already shattered his quote-unquote ceiling for what we thought he was from a scouting development perspective. He shattered it. Everyone said he was a 3, maybe a 2. He's a 1, easily, and he's 25. So I think it's really time to start to recognize the type of guy we have here in this kid. And the fact that Philadelphia has its ace for the next 5 years, 6 years under cost control, whatever it is. And it came from an unlikely place. You drafted him and developed him. How about that? How weird is that? But seriously, it's really impressive. And I think how good he is. We've talked a lot about the pleasant surprises that this Phillies team has had this season. And obviously, look, I said 88 wins to start the season, so they're even better right now than I expected them to be. They're on pace for 92, 93 wins, whatever it is, 94 wins. So, but I think that, you know, when you think about the pleasant surprises, you think about Eflin and how good he's been, and unexpectedly, and he wasn't even in the rotation to start the year. You think about Nick Pivetta and the jump that guy's taken, and some of the outings we've seen from him, the 13 strikeout outing just a few ago that sticks in your mind. Velasquez on a start-to-start basis has been so much better. Obviously, we've just seen jumps and positive things from people. And certainly, we've seen the other end of it where a guy like Scott Kingery hasn't produced like we'd want him to. Aaron Altair has been a disappointment. It works both ways. But I think you could certainly say there have been more pleasant surprises than not, I would say, on this team. And it's part of the reason they're at 51-39, 12 games above 500 right now in first place in the NL East. But I think of all those surprises, of all the shocking things, of all the whatever you want to call it, I think Aaron Nola taking the leap to becoming not just an ace, but being a top 10 for sure, and maybe even top 5 pitcher in all of Major League Baseball, that is, for me, the biggest, most shocking of all. And it's awesome. It's just awesome. It's awesome for right now. It's awesome for the future. It's such a boon for this team to get that type of guy and have that guy develop into so much more. And then on top of that, it's exciting for us as Phillies fans, as followers of the team, as all that, to have this guy here for a long time and to watch him develop into something special. He's already something special. He's 25 and he's a freaking stone cold ace. So I think it's time we start to recognize it, and it's really exciting to have him here. All right, coming up, quick note, we didn't get a chance, we talked about Aaron Nola specifically, but didn't get a chance to actually look over the All-Star roster. So we'll take a quick look at that and then look ahead to tonight's New York Mets finale. The Phillies have a chance to take 3 of 4 here, win their 8th series out of their last 9 series. They only lost, of course, the New York Yankees at home. Exciting opportunity here before heading to Baltimore for a game, and then Miami. We'll look ahead to all that coming up. It's Phillies Today. It's James Seltzer. Don't go anywhere. We are back. Phillies Today, James Seltzer. We have dove in to the Phillies victory over the Mets yesterday and looking at where this team is right now and shouting out the great, yes, the great Aaron Nola, as that man has become far more than I ever expected. Of course, the only all-star in this Phillies team. Coming up, we will look ahead to tonight's game with the Mets and the schedule beyond as Vince Velasquez takes on Jacob deGrom. But a quick note, we've talked about Aaron Nola and him being the only Philly on the all-star team at the moment, the lone representative, but we didn't get a chance to look at the rest of the all-star teams. And a quick note, just to take a look and see if there are any kind of surprises or guys who you might not expect to be there. You look at the starting line. Why don't we start with the AL and we'll go back to the NL. The AL starting line, Wilson Ramos having an awesome year down in Tampa Bay, a well-deserved selection there. Sometimes, you know, it's hard to know what the fans are going to do, but I like that call. Jose Abreu, surprised that guy got voted in by the fans, but a really nice player for the White Sox as well. I didn't know anyone cared about the White Sox right now, but I think Abreu, a fair choice there. It's funny, the first base position in the National League is so incredibly stacked with Freddie Freeman and Anthony Rizzo and Paul Goldschmidt and Joey Votto and all these guys in the American League. You know, Jose Abreu starting, and we'll get to it. Mitch Moreland's your backup first baseman in the American League. It's really wild how the disparity at first base talent there between the two leagues. Looking forward, second baseman Jose Altuve, lock the best player in baseball other than Mike Trout. Well-deserved there. Jose Ramirez, your third baseman. Jose Ramirez having an MVP-type season for what it's worth out there in Cleveland. I don't know how much you pay attention to Cleveland Indians baseball, but Jose Ramirez, check out the numbers. Dude is having a season, and one of the best contracts in baseball there as well. Well-deserved there. Him and Lindor, two of the better young players in the sport out there in Cleveland. Shortstop. Oh, who's this guy? Oh, Manny Machado. I know that name. Future Philly Manny Machado, potentially. The outfield made up of Mookie Betts, Aaron Judge, and J.D. Martinez, all incredibly deserving. Oh, and Mike Trout, excuse me. Who's that? Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, Aaron Judge with J.D. Martinez. This is a DH, and all incredibly deserving. Mike Trout, of course. Mike Trout also having, looks like it could be his best season, which is insane. But also, how about that Mookie Betts having a comparably good season to Mike Trout? And doesn't get nearly talked about enough. Great player. Obviously, Aaron Judge having a great sophomore campaign. And J.D. Martinez, it seems like all that guy does is hit home runs. I don't know what he does otherwise in life but hit home runs. I think everything he does is home run. You look at the pitching staff of the American League, Luis Severino, the likely starter in my mind. Terrific season. We've talked about Severino, obviously, when the Phillies were tasked with facing him a couple weeks ago or a week and a half ago. Corey Kluber, lock, makes sense. Chris Sale as well. Trevor Bauer has been great for Cleveland as well. Big spin rate guy there. Justin Verlander, though he will be inactive with an injury. Gerrit Cole is having an unreal season in Houston, well-deserved. Jay Happ, our good buddy, former Philly Jay Happ, makes the team for the Blue Jays. That is a, hey, the Blue Jays need a guy type of pick. Same with Jose Berrios of the Twins making the team because the Twins need a guy. But Berrios, nice young arm. And then you get into the closers, Aroldis Chapman, Edwin Diaz, Joe Jimenez, Blake Treinen, and Craig Kimbrell. Blake Treinen is awesome. If you ever get to watch that guy's known as Blake the Witch Training online, because his pitches just seem to go in ways you would never expect your pitches to go. The reserve, Sal Perez, is your only Royal. It is outrageous, though. The man is batting .213. Can we please? Outrageous. Mitch Moreland, as I mentioned, the first baseman. Gleyber Torres and Jed Lowrie are hurt. Both second basemen make the team, so some couple guys will get to opportunity to make the team in their place. Alex Bregman, very deserving. As a backup, Francisco Lindor, mentioned him before. Shin-Soo Chu, the ageless one. 48 straight on base streak game. Something along those lines. Been awesome. Michael Brantley, Mitch Haniger, George Springer, and Nelson Cruz round out the AL team. Look at the National League team again. Aaron Nola, your only representative. But it's hard to argue, as I think for the most part, pretty fair decisions made in the National League. Wilson Contreras, the starting catcher. Surprise Buster Posey did not get voted in. It feels like that is the constant way it goes, but Contreras will start. Freddie Freeman at first base. I hate the Braves. Well deserved, though. Freddie Freeman, nice to see him get some recognition as well, as he's one of the best, if not a top 10 hitter in baseball, and just completely underrated. Javi Baez having a great season at second base, gets the nod. Nolan Arenado languishing in Colorado, but just a awesome player on both sides of the ball. Best defensive third baseman in the game at the moment. Brandon Crawford at short. It makes sense. He had a great year. Outfield of Nick Markakis, Matt Kemp, and Bryce Harper. Harper obviously making it on name power alone. He's been atrocious, but in Washington, I think the fans will be able to see Harper out there. Speaking of Scherzer, the pitcher, Scherzer, DeGrom, Nola, one of those three will start. I think it's really down to Scherzer and Nola. And look, the game is in Washington, so let's assume Scherzer will start it. Mike Foltynewicz makes it, having a great year. I don't think he's as good as his numbers, but he makes it. Miles Mikolas, who, when he faced the Phillies, we didn't get the good Miles Mikolas, a rough outing, but that dude has been awesome, and I've gotten the chance to watch him pitch some other times. He's tough, man. He has a sharp, hard sinking ball that's tough to hit, so well-deserved for Mikolas. John Lester, Patrick Corbin both make the team. The Patrick Corbin revival year is in full effect. And then their bullpen guys, Kenley Jansen, of course, Sean Doolittle, Josh Hader. Shout-out to my guy, Josh Hader. That dude is awesome from the Brewers. Brad Hand, potential future Philly Brad Hand, and then Felipe Vasquez from the Pirates. And then the reserves offensively, Buster Posey and JT Realmuto make it. Posey injured, so Realmuto makes sense as the injury replacement potentially there. I think he might have made it already. Yadier Molina looks like he might make it as an injury replacement. They've taken multiple catchers on that side of the ball there. Then mention the clog up at first base of great players. You see two of them here, Paul Goldschmidt and Joey Votto both make the team. Ozzie Albies, and you then you look at this. Scooter Gennett and Eugenio Suarez make the team. So that means that you have three Reds players on the bench here. Joey Votto, Scooter Gennett, and Eugenio Suarez. So the Philadelphia Phillies are 51-39 in first place. The Reds are, I don't know how bad, but they're in last place. They stink. And they got three guys here, and the Phillies got none. And you know what? It's hard to argue, because Scooter Gennett and Suarez are having great years, and Votto is Votto. Trevor Story, Lorenzo Cain, Christian Yelich, and Charlie Blackmon round out your All-Star team. So look, it's frustrating because this Philly team's really good, and they're in first place, yet it's really hard to quibble with it. It's hard to argue with it. I don't see anyone else on this team other than Nola, who I feel genuinely, truly believes to deserves to be there. So what am I going to complain about? All right, looking at big one tonight as Velasquez takes on Jacob DeGrom. Huge one, as DeGrom is tough, man, and he pitches well against the Phillies, and he's just great. He leads the league in ERA if he qualifies. I'm not sure if he does at the moment, but Velasquez coming off the injury will be interesting to see how that plays out. And then tomorrow, Kevin Gausman and the Orioles will take on Nick Pivetta. Gausman has been pretty good at late, so that should be an interesting matchup as well. And then heading down to Miami to round out the weekend, we'll get Arrieta and Eflin and Nola in some order there against the Miami team, where a real opportunity for this Phillies team to take advantage and get the job done. Look, again, one with the Mets, one with the Orioles, three with the Marlins. You are playing three bad baseball teams over those five games. So a real shot for this Phillies team to catapult themselves into the All-Star break. And same first place again, alone in first place. That is pretty freaking awesome. So shout out to the Phils. All right, we'll be back tomorrow on Philly State. We'll break down everything from this Mets series and look ahead to the rest of the week heading in to the All-Star break and all of that. But keep it here. We got you covered all day long right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.